Well, hi, everyone. Bloomer Boomer just started a new series of podcast interviews in 2014, and this has really turned out interesting. It's called Life Passions, a series of interviews that focuses on life over 55. We've been talking about what impassions you. Is it a job, a vocation, a hobby, a family member? These are just regular people. Now, we're talking to folks who have a passion and an engagement about what they do. And today we're speaking with someone who has gone from welfare to the top floor of corporate America, and well after turning 55 is working and sees no end to it. She is Donna Morello, who has worked since a youngster and doesn't plan to hang it up anytime soon. Donna, thanks for joining us. And I know a little bit about you now, but let me just ask you this. What keeps you going?
Perseverance. and probably being a little stubborn. A little bit background about myself. I'm 69 years old. I'm still in my career as a communications director for a research institute that's affiliated with a university in San Jose, California. And I'm the oldest of eight kids, and so I learned how to be independent pretty early, and have been supporting myself as a single woman I was married for about 12 years, and since the age of about 30, 31, I've been single, and so I've been doing everything on my own. This is certainly in how to react to them. As my mom always said to us, you can't always determine your situation in life, but you can determine how you react to it and what you're going to do from then on. So, I was raised in a very traditional home in the 50s, which meant, the girls were expected to be housewives and to stay married forever and have a family and all that. And education was not necessarily an option for us. We certainly went to high school, but if we wanted college, that was not an option. In fact, when I got out of high school, I went to work right away to help support our family. And then I got married when I was 21 and had a child the following year. And I fully expected that that was going to be the pattern of my life. I had a son 3 years after that. So by the time I was 25, I was happily married, two kids. And then around age, when I was about 30 or 31, my husband decided to leave. And so I was faced with, okay, what do I do now? And, was not ever expecting to be able to go to college unless, I did it for myself. And I figured, well, this was as good a time as any. So I decided to work my way through college with my kids. And, I was lucky to have a lot of grants and scholarships and work study. So I was able to piece my undergraduate degree together and graduated by delivering the commencement address. And it was pretty delightful because my kids were in the front row at the ceremony, and it was kind of fun for all of us to be there. And after that, I went to work in public relations because I like to write and I like to do photography and I like to communicate with people. So they all fit together into a degree, into a career in public relations. So I worked for a while for a hospital in the healthcare field. Then I went over to technology and worked there for a while. And then I decided if I was so smart, why wasn't I rich? So I started my own PR agency and had that going for almost 20 years. And then one of my clients said she wanted to hire me because they needed more staff. And I figured, well, paid vacations, paid health care, and no sales calls. And so I said, okay. So I went over and did that. And was in technology for a while. And then about 7 years ago, I was recruited out of technology PR and into transportation research, which is what I do now. And I might add that the position I have required a master's degree, but I didn't have one. I just had my undergraduate, and my boss said, well, I'll pay your way through graduate school. And I said, fine. I always wanted to do that, too. So at age 66, I ended up with a master's degree. So, and here I am.
Well, in so many ways, your story is like a lot of others, but in many other ways as well, it's very unique. And I think maybe it goes right back to how you answered the very first question, what it's taken you to do what you've done.
Mm-hmm. A little bit was, it was kind of scary too at first because, like I said, I was I mean, I expected to be a housewife, be taken care of, you know, have somebody else earn the money, and all of a sudden there I was having to do it for myself, and I had no idea. I had no idea how to do it. And I was scared, and, you know, and I thought, well, I need to get remarried. I need to find somebody else to support me. And then I thought, well, you know what? I can't be sure that that guy's going to stay around, so I better learn how to take care of myself, because I felt like I'd been in a rowboat that had overturned, and there I was in the water with my kids. And I figured if I was ever in another rowboat that fell over, you know, how was I going to take care of myself then? So I figured, well, I better learn how to swim. So, you know, that's why I learned how to be independent and be able to take care of myself. And as a result, the relationships that I've had since then have been on an equal footing. You know, I feel like I've got my own money. I bought my own house. You know, I mean, I moved up from, you know, at first I was on welfare trying to support the kids, and just kept pushing ahead in my career. And, you know, finally got to a point where I felt like I had some financial equality with men. And, you know, so I was able to feel on more equal footing with them. And, you know, it was very liberating. And I just never, I mean, at first I thought I wanted to get remarried again. But then after about 5 or 6 years, when I realized I was actually doing okay for myself, that was much less important to me. And so I've remained single since then, and quite happily so, although some people sometimes feel sorry for me or they envy me thinking that I'm out partying every night, and neither one is true. You know, I just lead an ordinary life like most other people do.
Well, Donna, you're an inspiration for young and old. Hey, let me go ahead and jump into something of another topic that's common for all of us, and that's retirement. I'm sure you've thought about that a few times.
Yes, you know, retirement, you know, that's always loomed in front of me, and I've been surprised at how fast it's approached. I mean, I remember thinking, well, 15 more years till I retire, you know, 12 more years till I retire, you know. Now I'm past what the acceptable retirement age is. You know, most women retire at about 62, 65, whatever. But I've always wanted to keep working because I've always had a lot of energy, and, you know, I want to use my brain, and I want to use my energy. And I might add, you know, I have a role model ahead of me because my boss is 75. And I don't know that he's going to quit anytime soon. Or if he does, you know, he'll probably go working part-time, which is probably what I would do, too. He and I are the oldest in our office. The next oldest is, I think, about 50. And then beneath that, there's, you know, 30s and whatnot. But you know, we are, we're still here. And, you know, as far as retirement, you know, how I would imagine my retirement, I would probably continue to work at least part-time for a couple of years. But I want to travel. I want to do all the things that any other retired person would like to do as well. You know, I want to volunteer sometime. I've got a lot of resources. You know, my daughter is a school teacher, and I've, you know, when I've had the chance, I've gone to her classroom to help her out, you know, either to do clerical work for her, which frees up some of her time for class preparation, or, you know, actually, you know, helping out in the classroom, you know, as a somewhat of an aide, you know, which I also enjoy. And, you know, there's a number of things that I'd like to do, like court-appointed special advocates, in other words, helping, you know, children who are in foster care get through the legal system so that they can find permanent housing or maybe even end up back with their parents. You know, so that's something that I wanted to do. I've also been involved in nonprofit organizations. I was, like, president of the board for our local homeless services center, and that was very rewarding. I've been involved in arts boards. And, you know, I just found out that, you know, my brain for marketing and for promotion came in handy for a lot of things. And so I'll probably continue doing that as I get older, even though I'll probably spend more time, you know, traveling and maybe working in my garden or doing something like that.
What keeps you energized rather than, you know, getting stale?
You know, I think I probably come from a family of people who were always very curious about life and always wanted to do more. My grandfather, you know, died in his 80s. My great-grandfather was 104. You know, they always had something to do. They always had something they were involved in. And I think as long as you've got something in front of you, it helps to keep you from getting stale and from figuring, well, this is all there is, so I might as well shuffle off, you know. My mom is almost 90, and she's still living independently. Her memory's starting to go at this point, but, you know, who knows? You know, she may end up living with my sister or something like that. But, you know, she's still very independent now and living alone and taking care of herself. And I just see that that's probably how I'm going to be myself. And I think, you know, when I look back, I think I was about 5 years old when an old man in my neighborhood gave me probably one of the best lessons I've ever had in life. And at 5 years old, I'm surprised I even understood what the heck he was talking about. But he said to me, every single minute in your life counts. So appreciate everything you have. He said, I'm an old man now. He said, you've got a lot of time ahead of you. And I could almost hear the nostalgia in his voice. And I remembered thinking, being aware of time passing as I was growing up and always asking myself, what am I doing with this time? I'm never going to get these minutes back again. Time is going to pass by no matter what I'm doing. So how am I going to make those minutes useful? Now, useful may be working. Useful may be hobby. Useful may be just fussing around and laying out in the sun for a while. I mean, all of those things are valuable. But I think what you need to do is make choices in what you want to do, whether it's relaxing, doing nothing at all. If you find that to be useful, go ahead and do it, you know. But also keep other things going in your life, too. Another thing that I've learned, too, is not to hang around only with people your own age. I have friends who are much younger than I am. I have friends who are much older. I learned that from my mother. She always had people of all ages around her. I'm never going to live in a retirement home if I can help it, you know, because I want to have young people around me. I want to constantly be learning from them and constantly be trying to keep up with them. You know, I'm very active on the internet. You know, I have a technology background, so I know what I'm doing. And you know, I find it very useful to understand what younger people are thinking as well as what older people are thinking, too, you know. Just makes life a lot more interesting, I think.
Don, I'm sure a lot of people listening to today's podcast are similar in the sense that they're active in the working world like yourself. Others may be looking for a job. Some may be considering a job. But in any case, there is also that factor that we all have to be aware of, and that's an age bias.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I found that being in technology was sometimes difficult when I was looking for work at various companies. I'll state one interview that I had over the phone. I applied for this one job promoting a particular technology product. The phone interview went really well. She said, wow, you understand our product inside out. You're very good. Wow, you know, you sound, you know, very exciting. And she said, you know, come in for an in-person interview. She goes, you will absolutely love it here. Almost nobody is over 30. Well, it was a dead silence because I thought, well, I am over 30, you know, and I certainly don't look like a teeny bopper. So I thought, well, I'll just go in and I'll knock them out with my brilliance. And I was interviewed by a team of 20-somethings who were wearing little crop tops and they had like sparkles on their Van shoes. And I thought, you know, even though I dressed, yeah, I dress reasonably. I can still wear short skirts and dangly earrings, you know, and still look decent, you know. I just could see that the minute they saw me, they saw an old lady, you know. And the interview went downhill from there, and I was never called back. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but just that comment about nobody here is over 30, you know, that gave me a real clue to what their attitude was. And this wasn't just a little startup. This is a major, well-known corporation that's a name that everybody recognizes in technology. And I was very disappointed that they would have that attitude because gray hair is very important. In fact, I cover mine up, but underneath it's gray, you know, underneath the hair color, it is gray. And the thing is that gives you a lot of experience that I think younger people really need to have. It helps you be a mentor. And I think that if people are looking for work and they're having any trouble with ageism, try looking for a place where you find people who are maybe your age, or at least the boss is about your age. They understand what it's like. They're not afraid to hire you, okay? And then also sell your experience. You know, discuss being a mentor. Discuss the ways that you do have experience and the things that you have learned that you might be able to impart to some of these younger people. And if they're smart enough to get that, then you want to work with them. If they're not smart enough to get that, then you don't want to work with them. Just go someplace else. And, you know, that's the best advice I could give, because age discrimination is going to be out there, but you just can't let it take advantage of you.
So continuing along the lines of age bias, we not only have to consider our chronological age, but our appearance. Recently, I interviewed a doctor who's a cosmetic surgeon in Southern California, and that whole industry has really blossomed, and to a large extent, from baby boomers. What's your feeling about that?
Well, you know, I have absolutely no problem with it. It depends. I mean, I saw Goldie Hawn on the Oscars the other night, and she looks like she's just had way too much work done. And, you know, I'm all for aging gracefully, but there are a lot of cosmetics out there. I wear sunblock every single day on my face because I want to prevent wrinkles. And so far, I've been doing a really good job of it. I mean, most people think that I'm probably about 20 years younger than what I am. And, you know, and I'm often told that. So, but not everybody has that advantage. Part of it is genetic. My family just looks younger. So I've got that advantage. Not everybody does. But if you're one of those who does get gray hair, does have wrinkles, I think, you know, nips and tucks, fine. You know, go ahead and, you know, have your eyes lifted, whatever. Just don't go so far that you end up looking like a Barbie doll. I mean, I think that looks ridiculous on anybody, no matter what age. But I have absolutely no problem with a little help here and there. If it makes you feel better, and if you're doing it just to make yourself feel better, great. You know, if you're doing it to hold on to a man or to get a job or whatever, then that's not the right reason. And I feel exactly the same way about hair color. Any woman who wants to color hair, if a guy wants to color his hair, that's fine with me too. You know, just as long as you don't look ridiculous about it.
And the older we are, the more forks in the road that we've had to navigate and decide which route to take. And it's not going to be any easier as we get older from now.
Well, I used to have a sign on my office wall back when I had my business, and it said, jump off the cliff, grow wings on the way down. You know, so if you really want to do something, don't be afraid. There's never going to be the perfect time to do it. So you might as well jump off and do it. And, you know, there's very few decisions that you make in life that are irreversible. If you choose the wrong career, change it. If you didn't go to college, go back. If you, you know, regret being in a relationship, get out of it and do a different one. You know, there are very few things in life that where you are stuck permanently. So I would say if you have any inkling of what you want to do, go ahead and try it out. If you like it, stick with it. If you don't, try something else. And I think that sometimes being retired is very liberating that way because you're not so dependent on having a salary and having to get ahead in your career, whatever. I mean, I think retirement is a time that can be very liberating because you can do anything you want. You know, you're not raising your kids anymore, you know. You're not having to worry about, you know, providing a kids' college education. You know, the stuff that you can do is for yourself finally. And so I think that, you know, trying different things and getting to know yourself is also important too. And if you're not sure, then do a list of pros and cons. I mean, that seems very basic, but very often that's how I do things, is I will do research on it and then say, okay, this is the one that feels best for me, and then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, we hear a lot of, these days about reinventing yourself or reimagining yourself, and it sounds like that's what you're touching upon in what you just said.
Yeah, I think every 10 years you should kind of maybe shake your life up a little bit. You know, I mean, I did it by moving from technology into transportation policy research, which I knew zip about, but I was curious and decided I would learn all I could about it, you know, and really got to enjoy it. You know, in fact, I even have a couple of certificates in counterterrorism. You know, it was just like found it intriguing, you know, to, you know, how do terrorists work? You know, what do they do? How do they attack things? How do they build bombs? And those are the things that I found really curious. And so you know, like as part of my master's program, I took lessons in it and read a lot of books on it. And it's very enlightening. And so I have this whole new skill that I never thought that I would have. So, I mean, it's a little off the wall, but darn, you know, go ahead and try something that you've always wanted to do.
It sounds like you have a real thirst for knowledge.
Yeah, I do. And my brain doesn't hold facts and figures as well as it did when I was younger, but that's okay. I was just talking to my boss last night because he and I are laughing about how, you know, forgetful we're getting. I mean, we're still able to do our jobs, certainly, but it's if somebody says, do you remember that email I sent you 3 weeks ago? And I'm going, what email are you talking about? You know, because I can't remember. But, you know, the thing is, you know, stuff like this just, I mean, it's part of aging, and you might as well make the best of it. You know, even when I watch Jeopardy, I can't come up with the answers as easily as I used to. But that's okay, because I still enjoy watching it, and I still enjoy the challenge, so...
For some, that can be kind of an embarrassing moment, though.
So you just have to make sure you have a sense of humor.
You do, and that is really important. I think having a sense of humor is really important, especially as your infirmities come along. You know, it's like, oh, my God, you know. I mean, earlier this year, I had to use a cane because I had injured my knee, you know, and I thought, oh, great, the first step on the medical merry-go-round, you know. And I think having a good attitude, and you've always got your head, you know, I mean, I always figured, you know, even when I was younger, I thought, okay, what kind of career can I get into that if I'm in a wheelchair, I can still do it, you know, or if I injure my arm, you know, or something like this. And the thing is, you know, there are a million things you can do, even if you have advancing infirmities, you know, just find out something that you like. I mean, if you want to be a painter, I mean, some people who are paralyzed paint with a paintbrush in their mouth. If you want to do it, you'll find a way to do it.
So, Don, as we close out today, what might be something that we can learn from all of this for others that today are thinking about, well, what's next? What do they want to do? What's the next step in their life?
I would ask yourself, what are the things, what is your bucket list? I mean, the idea of a bucket list, people coming up with a bucket list when they're younger, great. You know, you still have a lot of time to do it. But, you know, even if you're older, what are the five things that you wish you had done when you were younger? And how can you figure out a way to do them now? I mean, you have years wide open ahead of you. And so just imagine you're going to last another 20 years. What are you going to do in that time that you can say, you know, I've always wanted to do this, and I'm glad I'm doing it now, you know? I think that as long as you keep looking at the future and not at the past, that, you know, you're going to keep your liveliness. You're going to keep your interest in life. You know, you're not going to sit there with the cat, you know, just watching the sun come up and then go down at the end of each day. I mean, become involved. There's always somebody who needs your experience. There's always somebody who can learn something from you, and there's always somebody who can teach you something, too.
Well, needless to say, you're very busy. So, Donna, what's next?
Oh, for me? I will. I don't know. I'm incoming president of my Rotary Club this year. So what I'm planning on doing is I want to go, like, down to Mexico. Our club is going to be installing a water purification system in a poor village down there. And I want to go with them, and I want to go install it because I want to learn how to do that. So, you know, that's going to happen, like, within the next year. And then beyond that, you know, I'll probably just keep on doing what I'm doing. You know, I want to have an art show. I mean, I love photography, so I'm going to do a photography show. I haven't done that in a long time, so another thing I want to do. And then I'm going to go on a road trip with my grandson. We decided that we are going to take a road trip up to Jackson Hole.
That's beautiful. Well, I thank you so much. It's been an inspiration, and I appreciate you sharing your time and experience.
Thanks so much. It was a real pleasure.